pull up to the table. If you're able, and negotiate your dreams, because progress speeds us up and it results in not so much time. And be ready, for change can come with any crime. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Yes, yes, yes. You know what day it is and you know what time it is. And this is the boss and this is BBSRadio.com. Uh-huh. Smart enough to continue. Smart enough to give praise to those who are in the alternative state of mind. Because the beast truth just is not fulfilling anymore. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm the boss. And, you know, I want you to know, you as a listener to the Mission Possible radio show is very important to me. Every Sunday, I come on with an intention, and that is to fill myself with the spirit that wants to connect to the messengers of truth. And together, in a conversation, I would like to create some curiosity, which may lead to some clarity, which might engage us all in a valuable conversation. Is this so reasonable that I should speak of these things over the airway? Should I once again tell you that spirituality is my reality? And should I tell you also that the goal of I, moi, the boss, is to do the will of the one, the Most High? And because you're listening to BBSRadio.com, I can trust you understand that you understand the understanding, because I've been saying it since I started this radio show. But for those of you who are new to this broadcast here on BBSRadio.com, Mission Possible Radio Show, I will give you the understanding. And it goes like this. We, the unwilling, who have been led by the unqualified, have been doing the unbelievable for so long, with so little, we now attempt to do the impossible with nothing. Now, this is the understanding of Dangerous George Williams, who is a pioneer of cable access television in San Francisco. Yes, City Vision. And let me cut to the chase, because I want to tell you why it is that I started Mission Possible Radio Show. And that is because I'm looking to start a series of conversations with some people who are willing to speak on the history of fascism, which includes the Klan, the Young Americans for Freedom, the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, I don't want to dwell too much on that tonight. I just wanted to give you a flavor. I do, in the next few weeks, want to give you the juicy facts that explain what I have been telling you, what Don Nikoloff has been telling you, and what the price of gold tonight, $9.48, and climbing, and silver, $18.08, and rising. This is real, folks. All over the world, the economy is booming. In the United States, it is slowing down. The jobs are going over there. And the only job over there for Americans is to be the stooges of the Bilderbergers, be the stooges of the Trilateral Commission and every other commission, to be the patsies for the UN, to be fooled and be cannon or missile fodder for this ridiculous government. Now, this is what I've been trying to tell you, that the dollar is toast. That's number one. America is in default, and it's selling its citizens a bill of goods, and it's taking away the Bill of Rights. What I find funny is most people have no clue about what's going on. And I have a clue because I see history. And have come to the realization that I am not just studying history. I am living history. And this is not just true for me. This is true for every human being who breathes on the planet today that has not checked out, that is not an organism that wants to die, programmed to die, been told to die. This is the serious mind control. This is the seriousness of it to where one can rationalize as they are breaking out in tumors their next big gulp. So have a big gulp. When you gulp, think about what the word gulp means. You see, we've all gone Southland. Yes. These are the curiosities of the progress of the United States of America and its so-called progress is that you on every corner can now poison yourself. Yes, we are living history. And that we are living history. And so, everyone on the planet, everyone who possesses the breath of life on this planet, yes. And the boss also wants you to know that I concur with the Honorable and very, very, very in my heart all the time, Dr. Len Horowitz, and his whole goal to sing in 2009 on June 19th through the 21st and to have a rising up, a lifting up of humanity all over the world singing to the water. Because DNA is the key to our divinity. It is the key to our soul life. And I'll tell you something, folks, until we let these evildoers in, this earth was paradise. And let me tell you, like it says in the family poem, and I guess it's time for me to remind you of that which not only gives me hope, but true faith to not give in to the fear, which is the backside of faith. When you turn around, it's like odds and evens in that coin. You can't tell where one starts and the other begins except for your actions. Fear, the actions of cowards. So all levels of fear, all manners of cowards. And then there are the faithful, those who stand in faith, not fear, working, seeing themselves as history, perhaps even changing that to a high story, saying hi to the other story, like layers in a building, like a library. For me, it's not enough to tell it or sell it, but to settle it. You see, I am the Prime Minister of the Royal Bloodline of David, and David settled it with a slingshot. Yeah. What 21st century David will stand up and face Goliath this time? Is that a fair question for the boss to ask? Is it a fair question for us to all demonstrate the truth of what it is we know to be true? It's an interesting situation that we're getting into, folks, because it's going to lead to a spiritual healing of the nation. This is very true. These are my thoughts on Sunday. These are the leftover thoughts after the sermon. These are the things that you don't get to say in the sermon because everybody will be like, what? What the heck are the minister talking about? And this is where I know, because BBS Radio doesn't lose data, that it is in the archives. And for all of those of you who are listening, I can't tell you what a deal it is for you to be able to access the incredible lineup of hosts that are speaking, talking, and sharing, researching up-to-date information. If you look at my website, which I'm desperately just trying to just turn into a blog and get my thoughts out, right now I'm at this point where I'm like, I can see why these people get paid good money. When you're downloading these websites, it can be an eternity. And no matter the money that you spend on any program that says it's fast, it's not fast enough. This is very true. So the spiritual healing comes from understanding the truth, and I thought tonight's Blue Plate Special would be a subject that I absolutely love to go over, you know, with everybody. And that is the truth, you know. And it's history, or saying hello to the true story, by just giving yourself a good idea of where everything is going in the world, and how it relates to our past, you know, and how we as individuals have to begin to look at the people who are in the story still. And that's what's so important, you know. I like quoting Churchill because he just always says the most incredible things, you know. Last week I told you what he said about, you know, truth having to be guarded by a real good, tough lie. He says, free speech carries with it all the evil of the foolish, venomous, and unpleasant things that are said. You see, I guess if you really look at it, he probably is. He was here today in America as a citizen, as a citizen, he was an honorary citizen or a naturalized citizen. I can't remember what it was, but they let him be a citizen of the United States. I would swear to goodness that he was talking about Bush, wouldn't you? Free speech carries with it all the evil of the foolish, venomous and unpleasant things that are said. Oh, my goodness. You see, for a long time, presidents have been misusing and compromising us, we the people, too long. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say it. Seems that all of these men subscribe to a creed of the office. And I'm beginning to understand now that I'm 55 years old and have been watching this Oval Office all these years, especially as an adult coming up with Watergate and going through Iran Gate and Reagan Gate and all the other gates that have led us up to Robert Gates and slipped on some ice, supposedly, and broke his arm, but it didn't stop him from pushing the button or giving the word to push the button. There's so much ironic stuff going on. It just makes me absolute, just opens me up for all kinds of things to consider. But the one that the president is now using most of all, and all the presidents who have come and will come afterwards, is that one thing that goes with that office that they definitely count on is they have a right to be wrong. This is it. Now, I want to talk some more about John McCain for a minute. It's not like I'm bashing him. No. But if the candidates cannot stand to be scrutinized, if we can't scrutinize them, if we can't tell what we know, but I know this. John McCain, definitely in his political career, has shown the boss that he does have a true talent for twisting the truth. I mean, he can twist the truth so good that he'll hand it back to you looking like a pretzel that you want to eat with that beer that he has made so much fortunes thrown down our throats. You say, boss, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about his wife. And I'm talking about his wife being the beneficiary of the liquor industry. So go ahead, America. Elect a man who's so close to Iron High as a Bush that he knows what he looks like, you see, and is willing to serve, and that's through the marriage, you see. You gotta understand something. There are all these people that are in so-called power and in the running now. This is the reward you get for being a good stooge, you see, for being able to overcome all the obstacles to have survived prosecution and scrutiny. John McCain has done this. Yes. So has his wife. So we now have potentially two Republicans. This is the best that the Republicans can set. So you know My goodness. And if you talk to Robert Camp, get their birth dates. This is very interesting. We're dealing with nine. We're dealing with losers here. We're dealing with people, even Obama. Nines. These nines have to deal with completion, but they also have to do with loss, giving something up that is valuable. How valuable is our freedom? How valuable is our economy? How valuable is that bank account and that ATM card? I keep trying to wake you up, and every week the price of gold keeps going up, and every week y'all go out there for the blue plate special at Kmart, buy the plasma TV screen so that when it really does hit the fan, it'll be spread out in multi-technicolor, and you can all run around and hold those useless pieces of dollars in your hand and wonder why it is that your government has forsaken you. I don't understand why it is that Michelle Obama had to find it so hard to say that for the first time in her life, adult life, quantifying it, qualifying it in her adult life, that she was proud of America. My goodness, folks, you know, you're all so mind-controlled that you can hear something in there, but can't you hear the truth in what that woman is saying? What is it that we have done lately that anybody can really be proud of? We've had people steal elections, free elections. We've had people doing preemptive strikes. We have chemical toxicity and poison. We have drug companies that are lying to us. We've got Eli Lilly up there just driving everybody crazy, mass murders, arguing with us as to whether or not Prozac leads people to be violent. Oh, my goodness, this stuff's harder to kick than heroin. This stuff is more uncomfortable than anything any addict could go through, and there's so many people that have to go through it, know they have to go through it. We're talking about America being not only depressed, but being an intensive therapeutic community. When you go outside your house now, you got to be aware that there are people out there who are trying to heal themselves and detox. And they have brains, some of them brown, some of them maybe gray. But I'm just trying to put it to you, folks, that you got to see this as one big eclectic experience, and then you got to understand that our government has wasted every potential. I mean, into 2021, they have wasted our, oh man. But it may be that we have to do this. This could be the big catharsis, and that's why I do these radio shows, because when it's all over, I play these back. And I try to tell people, but now I won't have to. I'll just say, listen for yourself. Where were you? Well, I was listening. I heard you. But I just couldn't let go of that dollar and see the future. I had to have it now. And I took it all in credit because I thought maybe I could just catch up. And the other thing I want you to know, folks, is no law, at least not yet. But the fascists have a way of making new laws. If the laws they have ain't strong enough, they'll just come along and make some new ones. You know, take away your rights. You know, I was born in 1952. And I'll give you a little history lesson about 1952. It's a pivotal year. Like 1932 was a pivotal year for the older generation. And then us baby boomers and atomic age babies who are now busting out in all kinds of unsightly tumors and rashes and all kinds of things. We have so much to look at, and it is our Generation X and our Generation RX that can look at us as we begin to age as to what it is they haven't got to look forward to, because it's even faster now for them. I mean, life is so short, you know. But fascists like to say things like, remember this. If the present laws are not sufficient enough to curb you in your thought of freedom, we will make new ones. So as they shore up the Patriot Act 2 and bring us Patriot Act 3 and 4, and now for my final act, you know, I will now rail on Cuba now that the man is old and infirm. But I want to tell you something, folks. You've got to ask yourself, what secret held America at bay with all that terrible stuff that was going on in Cuba, so to speak, they say. But the truth of Cuba can only be experienced through the eyes of the Europeans. So what you all need to do is, before you buy all this rhetoric about Cuba and it being something other than what it is, you need to look. They're eating down, man. What you going to eat when the ships don't come, folks? What you going to eat when Saudi Arabia does its final U-turn? You see, it's already started. They don't want our dollars for oil anymore, and this is the mad dash and scramble. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to BBSRadio.com, and you're listening to Mission Possible Radio. I'm the boss, and I am going to continue to speak. And it looks like I'm going to speak uninterrupted, so that means I can just keep on telling you about things. And as you listen back, you can see that even back then when we started dealing in, let's say, 1948, when we reorganized the executive office, brought in the CIA, and transferred all the men into their positions, there was one guy, when I'm looking at history, and I have to tell you, I had to shake him loose because I see him coming up so much, that I said, I'm going to make you my favorite person to study, and I'm going to go through history, and I'm going to find out how you're connected. Because when I come up to the point, it's 1967, and the First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy is getting ready to marry Aristotle Onassis in 68, and I see Robert Kennedy get shot in the Fairmont Hotel after announcing that he had taken was on his way to California in the primary. This is deja vu. This is the eternal reoccurrence of history and the high story. And Jackie was part of it. You know what's going to really trip everybody out is how much these individuals have shaped our existence as a nation. And part of it is my fascination with a man I like to call Big O. And this man had many Turkish connections. And when I look at this man through history and I follow him and I look at him and I see his biography and I see that he lives in Smyrna, you see what I'm saying, which is, and I see our Navy is there in 1921, and we have a League of Nations in Syria at the end of World War One, and I start putting things together, and I say, oh, I'm going to stick with you, dude. I'm going to stick with you. Everybody else, bring everybody else to the table. Oh, this one, Rockefeller, J.D. Rockefeller, Getty, do whatever you want. Bring them all to the table, and I'm going to show you where they all sat at the table. But there was a man that was pulling the strings, and I'm going to stay with Big O. Now, that doesn't mean that Big O don't have people to strengthen. I will go upstream after I finish explaining to you this idea of during World War One, after World War One, a thing called the United States Zones that were set up, you see, and the bribes, and because it was a Muslim nation, also the jinn had to get in, and the people that wanted to know where the alcohol was. Well, this young man, then a young man, and it's like, if he tells the truth of his age, he could have been 17, 18, but he's 6 years one way or the other. But in 1921, you know, a man named Jim Parks joined the State Department and was posted in Smyrna, right? Okay, and this is what I find out, that a combination, and here's where it gets good, because this is what we're suffering from and have been suffering from all through the 20th century and will continue to do as long as we don't loose ourselves from this idea that the State Department be full of public relations men who are civil servants and intelligence officers at the same time, you see, and are shipped around from FBI to CIA to the DIA, this one. You can't even begin to understand how many initials and how many places these men can go. But this Jim Parks, he had a friend in Big O, a young man, and he got to know him, and he also got this man, Aristotle Onassis, out of the city. That means that a lieutenant in the and a naval officer, by the name of Lieutenant Merle, And all I can do is, for those of you who really like my show, that listen and are not listening now, but you check the archives, is to do your homework and track down this Lieutenant Merle. He was a Naval Intelligence Officer, and it was Aristotle Onassis that hitched a ride on a U.S. destroyer, and the name of the destroyer was the Edsel, okay? You see? This is how they do it. This is how they get their intelligence and how they set up their networks. Now, think about this being 1921, what was going on around that time. The Californians, we got Doheny, we got all these other people, we got the oil cartels just getting ready to go over to the Middle East. Does it make sense, folks? Does it make sense that one Aristotle Onassis, whose father is Socrates Onassis, you see what I'm saying, who works with the Russell Trust for many, many years, goes all the way back, 1848, the Opium Wars, everything, doing these Turkish connections, Greeks living in a Greek colony in Turkey. You see what I'm saying? You know? It is a place where this one man who ended up marrying Jacqueline Kennedy in 1968, and that's after he took care of the other brother and brought Ed Kennedy on the line. Now, I can't understand it any other way. This makes sense. This makes total sense to me. So I stayed on the big O. And wasn't it to my surprise that as we get going on, he starts marrying women in the shipping business, Livyanovs, and then he is hooked up with the greatest Greek opera singer, soprano ever to live. He busts up marriages. And then you move on up, folks. And you realize this man is powerful with a lot of connections, both in the government and in the mafia. And all of a sudden, you begin to see that this man learned early on that he could justify the spending of large sums of money because what it was called was bakshish. And this was the fact that there are so many officials who are on the take, and the official always likes to see the paymaster, you see, remove the rubber band. This is what he always said. They like to see this. And there has been a split in our government because this tainting of this big O still lives on today. And that is why the Bushes and the Cheneys and the Rumsfelds all had to occupy that office, why they had to have a coup in 74 with Nixon and remove him. You see, that tape on door was placed there by James McCord. You see, they had to take each of them on, and they had to get them out of the office before it got back to Big O, because if it got back to Big O, then you'd know who was he handling. Who was he? Is there somebody on the line? No. Okay, well, I'm going to keep on going, because the question becomes, if Aristotle Onassis is hanging out with Churchill all through World War II, we now have a connection of Churchill to the Nazis. Not that we don't need others. We have others. Now we can see why it is that we had to become enemies of Russia. And big boogaboo, because so much of our hopes was riding on the fact that the Fourth Reich would rise again, and this time in the United States, taking out us as Americans, only to be replaced by good, obeying, in your stay in your places, worthy citizens of the state. Do you understand what's getting ready to happen, folks? And it's going to happen quickly. And it's been happening. This hasn't been something that just came up. This has been a long process. But these men are very patient. And in that patience, they have robbed and pillaged our banks, our accounts. They've driven us into double-digit inflation. And yet they still keep on blessing this mirage, and we keep on blessing the mirage that we're free. And now we're in a rat race election. What a bunch of phony CIA mind-controlled people. God bless their souls. God bless that they should stand up and that they should wake up and that they should begin to try to tell us the truth, to expose the fairy tale. I mean, we can't even get these candidates to agree on the fact that, you know, mean, if you start asking them questions like, do you believe that Oswald killed Kennedy? Ask Clinton then. And it's important because there's no statutes on limitation of murder, you know. And as I go through this whole idea of the United States, I have to go all the way back because now we're in the Middle East. We've had, you know, back then, 1921 and all and then with the movie screen, we had Rudolph Valentino. Oh, man, remember him? Then all of a sudden, Argentina got Oriental tobacco. And what Argentina gets, America gets. South America to United States, you see. This whole idea of tobacco, it was very in vogue. Cigarette manufacturers were using Cuban tobacco. And all of a sudden, they realized women don't like that strong tobacco. And big old Aristotle, he understood what women wanted. Now you can understand why he ended up with all these women. And he loved to play sisters against sisters. And, you know, Jackie had a sister, Lee. And she was the one that was, she thought that Aristotle was her sugar daddy. You see, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. This is just what it's all about, folks. And you say, well, what are you talking about, aren't you? Well, I could get into it, really. At the same time, everybody was twisting the truth. We had Hiroshima. We had the Marshall Plan. We had NATO. We had the Korean War. We had the Cold War. We had the Red Hunt. We had scandals. We had money in the Defense Department's missing. All of that, we had all that back in 1952. And guess what? We still have it today. We still have scandals. We still have this idea of the Al-Qaeda, Red Hunt, you know, hunt them down. We're going to get them all. When we know that when we get them all, we will have finally gotten to the Oval Office. Just like being there and I. Don't pay any attention to that man behind the curtain. The all-powerful Oz knows all. I bet Oz knows all because Oz put it all in the spin, in the mix. Yes, for those of you who are listening, you are listening to Mission Possible Radio, and I am excited to let you know how much you've been had and how important it is for you to understand all these connections. When I say the Russell Trust, when I say Aristotle Onassis, when I say that it is the American government who teaches assassination, it's the American government and its intelligence operations that teaches other countries how to trade in terrorism, how to take advantage of organized crime. My goodness, the British government used a network of terrorism all through the Opium Wars, and they wasn't at all shameless about it at all. They used the triads, and then they used these people in the Hong Kong society called the assassins, and they used it, they set these families up, and they carry out trade on their behalf. Do you understand how it goes? So if they do it in China, why wouldn't they do it in America? Sure, look at it. You see, Germany was involved in our revolution, too. Think about it. Think about Yale. Think about Harvard. Think about the University of Chicago. Think about the connection between university, the laboratories, and the governments, and where all the money is going back into private industry, into the pockets of foreign nationals, then to be invested in areas where, when you go to the net, like I do, I wake up in the morning because I did put a few snaps into the gold and silver, hoping that there may be some honor in our society. But trading is not an honorable society. It is a profit, greed-driven. It's been with us. We've had the East India Company. Who were they? Scottish merchants, Freemasons. They were the Knights of St. John of Jerusalem. They were the Society of Jesus. They were banking families in northern Italy. They were the black nobility. They were the ones who invaded us with drug addictions and drugs. They were the sponsors of mass drug addiction to opium and to all the others, cocaine. They've been going on. You don't need to be researching too much. Just look at history, but we gloss over it to get to the now so that you can just mindlessly see these idiots. If you choose Hillary, you choose a woman who has neglected her oath to track down criminals and to put them behind bars. She's a mafioso queen. That's why they use the Sopranos. They're messing with us. You might as well put a shotgun in her hand. She's going to take out anybody that gets in her way if she gets in that office. And she'll do everything in her power not to let any of the past murders, whether they be Ron Brown or Vince Foster or the boys on the tracks in Reno, Arkansas, or the missing people, or the prostitutes that her husband had sex with, or all of the drugs that he snorted or didn't snort. Can't you see it? America, can't you see that these people are just so nasty? How could you be so close to nasty and not have it get on you? It's compromising. They should recuse themselves and step out of the race. I'm so sorry I even tried. But these people are ruthless, and they will eliminate anyone, especially their own. I want you to know that. And they do not carry out the will of the people. They wear a mask with the same face, tyranny and oppression, lies, pablum. Happy days are gone. We can't buy this anymore. Now, I am talking about banking families. I am talking about the British. I am talking about the Russell. I am talking about opium. I'm talking about transporting it all around the world. I'm talking about the Perkins Syndicate, which is based in Boston. Just because they intermarry with other families of British genetic lines, who were involved in slave trade. And I see chattel slavery the same as I see addiction to drugs. And I see in history the Russells buying out the Perkins. And I see how important Coolidge and Delano, our soon in 1932 president's grandfather. Yeah, all hooked up. All hooked up. In opium trade, rationalizing it. He equated opium trade to the liquor business, both of them being profitable, both of them being the cornerstone of their family businesses. This is what he would tell you. Can I tell you also that FDR is genetically related to George Bush? Yes. Can you understand how this he gets his name, Poppy, not from being a father, but from being a user, and also probably for popping off when he gets mad. Poppy, always popping off, got to get it off, got to go. In history, I want you also, the boss is telling you to study these families. Study the Russells, study the Tafts. Try and put them together in history. See the conspiracy right there before you. Then bring yourself up to date and you'll see how there could be a Nugent Hand Bank in Sydney, Australia, and the CIA hooking up with the Mossad operation. See it. From alcohol prohibition to organized crime to drug trafficking. See it. For without a drug trade, folks, without a drug trade, the world economy would collapse. Mm-hmm. We're talking about an income from drugs that then can be used for investments. In other words, an income that provides for investment, which is produced by destruction of human life. Can it be any simpler? Am I making sense to anybody out there? I do know I have to check the time because I'm out here in the jungle. You want to hear it? It is so beautiful, folks. It is so beautiful to be able to talk to you here from Hawaii. It is an absolute gorgeous place. Some people come here and they say, oh, that noise, it would keep me up. I can't listen to my DVDs with all this noise. Listen to this, folks. Let me see if you can hear this. I love doing this. Last week, it worked out really good with the Delano Roosevelt little cut-in. So now I'm going to try and get a feeling for being out here in Hawaii. You ready for this? You see, I got myself a built-in natural defense mechanism. You know what that is? It can go ahead. Well, I know that when I hear quiet, when I don't hear a sound, I will know that there is no life, you see. That noise is the sound of life. It is the sound of, it is the sound of nature. It is a sound that cannot be stilled. It is a sound that I I'm looking for my computer, and I'm trying to find out what time it is. So if I feel like I've gone off script, you know I have. I'm trying to find out what time it is. It's important that I keep these to an hour, even though I know that Don says I can go over. I am really feverishly trying to work to make these 7:41 according to the clock. And my friend has now said that she will tell me when it's over. So I want to get back to my big O because I am going to be making that the focus because I really found in history a man who is there on the cutting edge of everything. When we talk about it, when he describes his life, he talks about it in terms of espionage. And so then I said, well, that's good because I'm dealing with intelligence. You know, even how we got into the whole Iraq thing and the despicable way in which everybody in this country conducted themselves as if they were in the Wild West and had hit lists and all kinds of things, acting like indecent human beings, no one backing anybody up to say this is unacceptable, this is not the way in which we as a country want to conduct ourselves, that we can learn from the fact that as a country, we cannot be offensive. We cannot begin to keep on investing in offensive weapons. It is going to lead to our destruction. For to prepare for war can only mean attack. For the one we prepare against must naturally fight back, you see. And what I have to do now is be very organized with my shows to give you the flavor of why it is that when I say truth is truth, I mean it. And then when I give you that lunch and I tell you, go check these people out, see the connections between the League of Nations and how we conduct, you see, the United States never signed the League of Nations, you see. And then the State Department starts doing their due. And intelligence means I gotta have people on the inside, on both sides. And that's what Aristotle Onassis is all famous for. So quickly, to tell you that in 1932, by this time, this young man who had to leave because they were going to be killing all the Greeks in Turkey, in Smyrna, and he left, and he made his way to Argentina. From there, he made his way to be a vice consul, which means he then had diplomatic immunity, at which time he began to become connected with the United States Greek community. This has to do with shipping. This takes you to the ports. This takes you to Chicago, large Greek communities in Chicago, large Greek communities in New York City, Greeks, Greeks, more Greeks. All right? So now you have this young man. He's got a father. They threw his father in jail, but his father got out because he's connected. They didn't kill his father, and so his father set him up in trade. So then he becomes very wealthy. By 1932, the pivotal year, this is the year to explore the market. And also, and this is what is so important now, folks, as gold is going up, is to begin to look at the behavior of men of finance and the men of politics. as they all came together, I say, and I can't think of anything more important for a talk show host in these days and news journalists all to be thinking about it, is that this is a field that when we begin to start talking about the market and finance and men of politics, that we will see that we have to become very well versed in the field of ethics. You see, because it was Aristotle in Athens. I want to give you a quote. He said, quote, "I realized that if you have one golden apple, you have the power. You can get away with murder if you have a single apple that somebody else wants," unquote. You see, he had a golden apple. Now, this is 1932 that he says this, that he hit. This is a man whose whole life, it was important for him to maintain good connections, to have good intelligence on people. And that means that you had to then infiltrate these places. By 1950, okay, and Aristotle Onassis was very good friends with Joseph Kennedy. They had relations with the very same woman, Gloria Swanson. Gloria said the Greek wasn't all that much. You know what I'm saying? And she was a heck of a woman. And she was all about nutrition. You should go and check her out. That's an incredible woman, Gloria Swanson. But anyhow, to make a point, in 1932, when the government was taken over by FDR, and we were now going to be a arm of the Third Reich as they began to build their armaments, and Germany rearmed as we began to say no to the League of Nations, and we started tooling up in our companies and governments over here, gave them the money and created, and by the time the war started, Big O was making money on both sides. This is true. Okay, so you can argue with me if you want to about that. And then I begin to see him in the 1940s begin to buy Liberty ships, okay? And then in 1950s, right around 1953, he starts what's called the Jeddah Agreement with the Middle East Saudi Arabians, builds them a couple of tankers because that's all they was missing. They didn't have any tankers, and this man knew how to get tankers built. So he builds the king a tanker, and now he's shipping and getting ready to snatch the oil contract. He's getting ready to, as he said, stick his big Greek finger in the American pie, this thing in the Middle East, where they wanted to beat him back. So they get Mayhew, Iron Bob Mayhew, and Nixon, and all of them to scuttle this deal. And that's when Onassis said, "You know what, Nixon? I know you're a Hughes man. And I know that you bought and sold, and you are a Murchison's man, and that you are a Mullen man, and you're all of that man, you're bought by him, you're mafioso, I know what you do, I know what your vices are, I know everything about you. Well, you could be president, maybe, but right now you're getting on my nerves." And so, Big O decided that he was going to take care of Nixon and pull his money man right out from underneath him. Who's his money man? Howard Hughes. 1957, Albert Anastasia gets it in a barber chair. He's dead. Nobody knows who killed him. Ha, ha, ha. Then a nice big conference, Joseph Barbera. They have the Appalachian meeting. Robert Kennedy's trying to figure out what the heck is going on. He knows Big O. He knows him because his father knew him. His connection. Everybody gets to be a leader as long as they keep their mouth shut and it doesn't come back to the big guy. You see. And the third largest tobacco company was owned and helped build Big O with Juan Corona. And that was takes you to an Italian immigrant, Albert Dodero, D-O-D-E-R-O, in Uruguay. You're watching right then and there the first inklings after World War I of the building up of the Argentine and German connection and the Middle East Baghdad to Berlin connection. These men who come from Italy, go to Uruguay, can then move on to Buenos Aires and buy up 148 United States ships and sell them at a profit and start a shipping company. You see how you get rich, folks. By 1931, he had the status to access large sums of Western currency. This is how they do it. They're dealing with banks. The game that they are playing is espionage. Where do you play that? You play it in embassies and councils all over the world. And you use your embassy employees as intelligence agents. And this is how it gets real good, folks. I'm going to wind it all up by telling you that there is a connection, and Dr. Leonard is very serious about the CIA, Hollywood, and the way in which we get things going and how they take us. But I look back to a man named Fritz Mandel, and I look back to a man named Mandel who was a big armaments man in Vienna, and I look back to a man who used to be married to Hedy Lamarr. Now, that would then make her what? That would make her married to this movie star, married to an armaments merchant, you see. And now you have Big O throwing big parties for him. And they all come together, you see. And the relationships with the Nazis were aligned and all done in 1927 with Austrian fascists. Now, when I say Austrian fascists, you have one in California right now. You can now... I have just shown you, and if you can't see it, then do your homework, how come you have a Schwarzenegger in the office? Why there's a Franco and Mussolini in a grave and a Schwarzenegger in the office? And all their close relationships all lead us up to the sons and, I say SOB, sons of bankers. No, SOB. So you got a man who can build tankers. You have a man who then hires away from Howard Hughes, Johnny Myers, who was his guy back in the 40s. And then, ladies and gentlemen, he does what is necessary. He kidnaps Howard Hughes, and after 1957, right around the spring, no one has ever seen Howard Hughes again, and there's nothing but phoniness, and this is the national security, because Howard was spending a lot of the money that he didn't have, and he was getting behind in those jets, and I don't want to get into it, but it makes sense. So you take all of that, and you put it all together with the intelligence that was being created. You then take a land over there, and you call it Israel, and you put them over there in a modern Canaan in Israel, and the dream of our Jewish homeland, and you have everybody over there signing up to get over there, and you put a big... and you end up with today. That's the beauty of the interaction of the whole idea of history and how it goes. So you can see that if you are into it, folks, if you're up to snuff with it, I want you to look at Aristotle Onassis. I'm going to be blowing your mind about this man, and I'm going to be blowing your mind about Jacqueline Kennedy. And I'm going to show you how it is that we have got to wake up from this fairy tale of Camelot. No, she did not love her husband. Yes, those were red roses in her hands that day in Dallas. And Aristotle Onassis just loved to give roses to his women, lots of them. She got them in Fort Worth, and they were waiting for her at the Dallas airport, and she was handed red roses, and she knew who they were from. They were on the seat between her and her husband as they were going, and this was her reminder of who her new man was going to be, because she was in on the assassination and in on the cover-up. And when you look at the pictures, you don't see a woman in grief. The reason why a tear never fell is because she was in on it. You all have to remember. And then, to leave you with this, because it is time for me to wind up, and I am the boss, and this is Mission Possible Radio Show, and I hope those of you who are listening really understand I'm serious about, before I kick it to the next elevation of humanity, which is waiting for me in the hereafter, when I leave, you're not going to be scratching your head understanding why it is that everything was locked up until 2037. I'm going to give it to you now, so then when they open it up in 2037, they'll look back and they'll say, the boss was right. She was right. Don Nikoloff was right. Jeff Rentz was right. Dr. Leonard was right. All of us. Don Newsom was right. All of us were right. All of us were right on. And I'm hoping that when we do that, we'll be toasting on the other side, on the right side of the communion, and we're in the garden again, restored in our rightful places where truth is truth, and that we do not compromise with evil, and that we do not overlook people's indiscretions. So therefore, look into these people that are running and find their flaws and confront them on the truth of the matters, is that none of them have exercised any good judgment in their lifetime. Whereas if they had, it wouldn't have led them to want to be the President of the United States of America. I'm going to have to conclude because my dog is starting to attack my friend here. And so with that, I'm going to say I'm the boss. I love you all. I'm going to pick up next week on this thing called Aristotle Onassis. Do some homework and join me in on this. Go look this man up. And this is my last thing I want to tell you. For those of you who want to know, Jackie was absolutely livid that William Manchester went on with the whole thing to write the Book of Death of the President. Anybody out there, just go to your libraries, do this for me, and then come back and call me. Check out page 555 in William Manchester's Death of a President and tell me if you are not interested in what it is that Robert Kennedy does when he comes downstairs on that Sunday when his brother is being moved to the Capitol Rotunda. Isn't it kind of funny who you'll find having dinner in the White House the night after the coup d'etat? Aloha, everybody. I love y'all. Have a great week. And remember, there are no statutes of limitations on murder. And let me tell you just how close it is that the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are to being found out for the absolute rulers of chaos that they have been for the past time since they ever started. Good night.